Man. I want to talk about salvation this morning. And there are so many scriptures on the subject of salvation. In fact, it's hard to find one that isn't, right? Salvation is what the Bible is all about from beginning to end. There was no creation, no fall, no Jesus, no salvation. Well, anyway, salvation is what the Bible is all about. But I have a question this morning to get your gears going right away. Does everyone have a right? Don't answer, you might be embarrassed. Does everyone have a right to be saved? Does everybody in the world have a right to be saved? The answer is nobody has a right to be saved. Nobody has a right to be saved. We're talking about our rights versus God's mercy. We're talking about our rights versus God's grace. I didn't have a right to be saved. You don't have a right to be saved. If you had a right to be saved, you would have to have a perfect life. Then you'd have a right. Jesus had a right to rise from the dead, right? Sure, because he was perfect. We wouldn't have any right to rise from the dead. We died as a penalty for our sin. Am I right? Are you still thinking? Well, wait a minute, Brother Tamer. Didn't Jesus himself say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Go to all nations, preach to every creature? Yes, he did. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's Mark 16, verse 15. But in my opinion, no one has a right to be saved. Because I would have to be good enough to be saved if I had a right to be saved. And there's nobody that was ever born of Adam and Eve that was good enough to be saved. Nobody. If there was, why did Jesus die? If you could have been saved without him, if you had a right to be saved, you could have been saved without Jesus' death. Then why did he die? Why did he go to Calvary? Why did he suffer? Why did he shed blood? Why did he expire on the cross? Why did they put him in the grave? Why? If we had a right to be saved. All right? I don't want to be controversial, but I want this church to understand that we're saved by grace, not by right. You know, we live in a nation, we live in a world today that's stressing rights. You've got your rights. You just walk up to that altar and say, God, here I am. Save me. You don't come that way. You come humbly, maybe crawling, maybe tears, handkerchief, Kleenex, weeping, wailing, repenting, right? Amen. We don't come demanding from God. Oh my. America, rights. You got your rights. Everybody's got their rights. And animal rights and highway rights. Everybody wants their rights. Demand their rights. Okay, I'll go on. Even if we had died for our own sins, we still wouldn't have a right to be saved. Even if you died for your own sins, you wouldn't have a right to be saved. How would you calculate that? How would you figure that? You only got what you deserved when you died. I don't understand how people can feel that way, that they have a right, just have a right to be saved. You don't have a right to be saved. Not with the definition of the word right that I want to explain to you in a minute. Okay, so even if I died because I sinned or I died for my own sins, I still don't have a right to be saved. How many agree with that? You still don't have. Some of you are still on the fence there. Well, we'll get to you, I hope. If I died for my sins, I got what I deserved. If I died for my sins, that doesn't give me a right to be saved. But Jesus died for my sins. And here's the good news. He's got a right to save anybody he wants to. It's his choice. I'm not talking about predestination now. Hang on. Hang on. If the ride gets bumpy here, just hang on a minute. Okay. So, Jesus died a sinless man, and he has a right to save anyone he pleases. And guess who he pleases to save? There you go. Amen. Revelation 22:17. I'm in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. There it is. Praise the Lord. So when I say no man has a right, and when I say Jesus has a right, I use the English definition of the Greek word number 1849 in your Strong's Concordance, which means authority. As in Matthew 21:23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou do these things? And who gave thee this authority? That word authority is the same as right. Who gave you this right? By what right doest thou these things? And who gave you this right? Okay, that's the same word, this number 1849, right. It's the same word translated power in Matthew 9:6. Remember the palsied man, and Jesus came in and said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they began to say to him, wait a minute, who is this guy? Forgiving sins, blasphemer. Only God can forgive sins. And then Jesus said, well, you can't forgive sins, and you can't heal this man of palsy, but I can do both. I can do either or both. And so he said, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power. That's the same word, hath a right, hath authority. Power, right, authority. All used synonymously in the New Testament, King James Version. Okay? Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Oh, I like that. Praise God. Praise God. He's got the right. He's got the authority. And he's got the power to do it. Now, some alert person may argue with me. You'd have to be alert, though, and say, but we do have a right to the tree of life. The Bible says so. Revelation 22:4. I looked it up for you. So I like to do that when people have a controversy, conflict, debate. I like to look up their verses for them. Beat them to it, you know. Revelation 22:14 informs us that we do have a right to the tree of life. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, did you read anything there about being born with these American rights? Did you read anything there about being born with a right to heaven, a right to Jesus, a right to the tree of life? No, not one thing. Not one thing. This verse speaks of those who are already saved. You that are already saved have been given one tremendous privilege. You know what it is? You got a right to the tree of life. That's your reward for believing on him. You have a right to go through the gates into that city. You that keep his commandments. You got to be born again to keep his commandments, of course. People have tried it without being born again. It doesn't really work. Okay, so what am I saying? I'm saying that blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. I looked up the word. It's 1849. Same word as authority and power, right? And may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, I said this speaks of those that are already saved. Look at John 1:12. I love this. You've probably heard me when I'm praying sometimes. This scripture just keeps coming out of me. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right. Same word. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. Number 1849. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, if you're not saved, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I would get that done today. Put my faith in him and believe in him that you might have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into that city. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, no man has a right, but Jesus has a right. And he reserves that right to himself. So, if you want to be saved, you can't just go up and demand your rights. You have to say, Lord, I believe. Humble yourself before him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Okay? God is very generous and gracious with his offer of salvation. Very, very generous. He's so generous, the call to salvation is universal. It's to every color skin, it's to every race, creed, religion, it's to every tribe, it's to every condition of life, it's to the drunkard, it's to the harlot, it's to, praise the Lord, God bless you, good to see you, amen, amen. That's just me. The call to salvation is universal. No one is denied. Anybody that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ can have right to the tree of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you better get acquainted with that verse, John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. To them gave he authority. You know, I said it. We don't look like it. And the world doesn't treat us like it. But, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Today, right now, we are the sons of God, whether we look like it or not, and whether the world recognizes or not, and no matter how bad the devil treats us, we are now, the Bible says. Now, N-O-W, we are now the sons of God. Praise the Lord. So this verse, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's authority. We have the authority to be the sons of God, to know that we are the sons of God. I love that. I read it recently in a sermon that there are so many things the Bible says, especially in the epistles of John, that we know, we know, we know, we know, we know. We're not ignorant. We know something. Though the world doesn't know that we know it, we know they don't know that we know it. We know they don't know it, but we know it. How many are saved? How many know they're saved? Praise the Lord. You know, I don't believe in this religion. And it was prevalent years ago, even in our own ranks, you know. Well, you know, I hope I make it in. The devil's been chasing me all day. And would you pray for me? You know, I don't know. I was saved yesterday and the day before I was lost. And now the day I lost all day and I came to church and I got saved again tonight. And people are saved and lost and saved and lost and saved. And when I got saved for eternity. I'm not talking about eternal security now. I'm talking about living with God and walking with God and having the authority that he gave me to become a son of God. To as many as believed on him, to them gave he power, authority, a right to be a son of God. Praise the Lord. And I'm living that way. There's no other way to live for a Christian. Like one man said, one blind preacher said, if you're going to be a Christian, you might as well be a happy one. Praise the Lord. Okay. So I said the call to salvation is universal. That's the grace of our God, and that's his right. He has a right to save a harlot. He has a right to save a dope addict. He has a right to save a drunkard. He has a right to save divorced people, right? He's got a right to save homosexuals and lesbians. He's got a right to do that. When they meet his conditions, he's got a right to save. Isn't that wonderful? I love to witness to people because I know that all heaven stands behind me, because all heaven wants them to be saved. All earth doesn't sometimes, but all heaven does. Amen. That's why the heavens erupt into ecstasy when somebody hits the altar, repents of their sins. Hallelujah. I love this gospel. It's fantastic. It's marvelous. Romans 10:13, for whosoever, just think of the joy the Apostle Paul must have exhibited when he said, hey, I can write this. I got a right to write. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because he met that Jesus who had a right to save him. And he saved the Apostle Paul, who said he was the least of all sinners because he persecuted the church. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Listen to this. Not willing that any... That's his choice. That's his right. He's not willing that any should perish. I might look at some despicable drunk laying in the gutter in New York City, which I have seen and where I have been. And I might say, oh, God can never save him. He's not worthy to be saved. Look at him wallowing in his own vomit there. Stinks. Looks terrible. So who would take him home and clean him up and wash? Jesus would. And that's what he teaches. That's what he teaches in his word. My, I can tell you stories. I was in a church one time where there was an Indian playing the, I'm not politically correct, I'm supposed to say American Native, a Native American, I guess, but forget it. you heard about that, didn't you? That computer you talk into. Okay, but anyway, here's this Indian playing the organ in this church service over in Michigan. I went over there to a convention with Brother Brian Wiseman. And I watched him. He was so excited about the Lord and the things of the Lord. And then I heard the story behind it. The pastor had gone for a walk down the railroad tracks one day, and he found this drunk laying there. And he woke him up, brought him to his house, and cleaned him up, and gave him a good meal, brought him to church, and the man would come to the altar because he liked the pastor, because the pastor was good to him. And so... Pastor looked for him one day, and he wasn't in church, and he went for a walk, and there he was, laying there again, all drunk. And he didn't get discouraged. He picked him up again, carried him to his house, cleaned him up, coffee, food, got him back in church again. A couple months, and he's gone again, backslid again. If that's backsliding, he never did come all the way, and so... the pastor didn't get tired of it. He went for a walk again. There he was again. He brought him back again. And this time, the fella got saved. He got baptized in Jesus' name. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I had the privilege there of meeting him. And now he was the church organist. And could he fly on that organ? Wow. And I heard stories like that. And then there was another one and another. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Jesus. And his right to save people, no matter who they are and where they've been or what they're doing. I love it. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when I witness, I like to think of that. I like to think of, here's a man that, I don't know if I can get along with him or not, and here's a lady, I don't even want to be around her. I might think that, but then I got to say, Jesus, let me see everybody through your eyes. In fact, I did that with a lot of bartenders and nightclub owners. I'd stand behind the counter waiting on them, and I'd just say to myself, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. One of them came in. Remember the go-go girl days? One of them came in with a go-go girl, and she was just flitting around there, trying to distract men. And I just looked, and I said, Jesus loves you. I said to myself, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I would say, Jesus loves you, when I looked into the face of a sinner until tears would come to my eyes. Amen. I'll tell you, it works. It works. And I witnessed to everybody. I didn't care who they were, what they brought with them. Amen. Witness, witness, witness. Jesus loves everybody. Okay, so in view of Jesus' generosity, why do so many people seek to find the easiest or least inconvenient plan or method or way to be saved? In other words, why do they seek to do the very least they can and still be saved? Do the very least they can and still get to heaven. Do the very least they can and still be saved. Why? Why? Why do I meet so many people like that? We had a popular radio preacher, I won't mention his name, but through the Bible in so many years, and he said, all that is necessary for salvation, this is a quote, all that is necessary for salvation is faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And he added, "Not baptism, not repentance, not good works, just faith." And I thought to myself, I've got to say something, because somebody, and I preached this to our church many years ago, but somebody's going to get confused here. So I said, "Hey, folks, using this manner of reasoning, let's read Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else." I said, "Now, wait a minute. We don't need works. We don't need baptism. We don't need repentance. All we need is faith." Now, if I was going to use that preacher's manner of reasoning, then I'd say, Isaiah said, "Look unto me and be saved." Now, because Isaiah said, "Look," am I at liberty to say, "By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of works, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast"? Am I at liberty to say, "Not baptism, not repentance, not good works, not even faith, just look"? That's using their reasoning. That's applying their reasoning. I mean, we can make this thing so easy, you can get saved without Jesus. We can make this thing so easy, you can get saved without the Bible. That's they're missing the point, folks. They're missing the point. And so some denominations practice no baptism at all. And some denominations sprinkle babies. And other denominations sprinkle only adults. Did you know that? And other practices underwater baptism. We call it immersion. One called it underwater baptism. Another immerses only in a river. Have you met those people? Another immerses in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And another immerses in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, I feel something tugging at my heart there. See, we got all these different denominations, all these different beliefs, and somebody will say to you, "That's your interpretation of the Scripture." And I tell them, "You're going to be judged by the Word of God, not by anybody's interpretation." Right? Listen to it. We will not be judged by some denomination or somebody's opinion or somebody's interpretation. We will be judged by the Word of God. John 12:48 says, Jesus speaking, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." It doesn't make any difference what I believe or you believe or they believe. We're going to be judged by the Word of God. Then we better get with it. We better get with the right interpretation, huh? Amen. Did you ever read about the tabernacle in the Old Testament? Sure. Paul discusses the tabernacle in detail, in quite detail, I think, in Hebrews chapter 8. In verse 5, he's talking and he says, "Who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things," as, that's the old tabernacle, shadow of heavenly things, "as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, for see, saith God," in other words, "that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to you in the mount." Here it is. Genesis 6:14. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." Well, I don't know, that's kind of hard to saw. I think I'll use pine. "Rooms shalt thou make in the ark." Nah, let's get together and have a community here on the ark. You know, I'll just make one big room. We'll call it the great room. "And shall pitch it within and without with pitch." I don't know, that stuff stinks. I think I'll just pitch the outside. Next verse. "And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." God gave Noah the blueprint for the ark, and Noah made a whole bunch of changes to make it convenient for himself. And to make it easy, didn't he? Thank you. No. 1,000 times no. He did it precisely, accurately, exactly as he got the blueprint from God Almighty. Now, what if Noah had made a few mistakes in building the ark? Would you feel safe on it in the storm? I wouldn't. I'd figure, I might as well go for a swim. I'm going to drown in that ark anyway. It's going to, you know. What about obedience to the gospel? What about obedience to the gospel? Paul said about Jesus, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Obedience is so important. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, there you have it. There you have the contrast. To those who obey, eternal salvation. To those who obey not, flaming fire, the vengeance of God. I don't want to leave out anything. I want to do it right. I want to do it. Oh, I got to go on. I want to do it according to the scripture. Okay, let me hurry along. Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the minimum, so you can at least have a chance. No, Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Why don't we go all the way with the scripture, all the way with God, all the way to the altar, all the way through the things that God speaks of in the Bible? And yet I've had people say to me, after I have preached, I'll take my chances. Well, that's your choice, sir. That's your choice, ma'am. But you're taking a big chance. You're taking a chance on getting an ark that wasn't pitched on the inside. Might spring a leak before the storm's over. I'd go all the way with the scripture. Amen. Another said to me, right here in this church, I think I can make it without tongues. I said, you're missing the point. Ma'am, you are missing the point. What you are saying is, do I have to get the Holy Ghost? And I said, what Jesus is saying, if you would only listen, is no, you get to have the Holy Ghost. You don't have to get it, you get to have it. That's the attitude that the Bible portrays, I believe. John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, should I go around? Should I reject what Jesus offers me? He's offering me here a river of living water. He's offering me the Holy Ghost, something that'll bless me, something that'll help me, something that'll empower me, something that will keep me. Amen. Or should I reject what he offers me, or should I be thankful for what he has given me? I think I need to be thankful and not turn up my nose at anything that he offers me. Amen. The first sermon ever preached after the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost was on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he caused his hearers to be pricked in their hearts and prompting them to ask the all-important question, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, when they asked, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and then every one of you. We're talking about whosoever will. We're talking about all, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and every one of you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is given unto every one of you, and to every one of your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then he went on and said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I want you to know under the sound of my voice this morning that I am a Jesus name baptized, Holy Ghost filled person, and I love it. I love it, and I'm glad I didn't turn my nose up at it. Praise the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Let's clarify something in case there are some other denominations here this morning. Salvation begins with faith. But I challenge you. Doesn't the Bible say, add to your faith? I'm saved by faith. Plunk. That's it. Don't try to move me. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, by grace are you saved. And I'm going to stick to those scriptures. I'm not turning another page. You know? I got what I came for. Now leave me alone. Get off my back. Close that book. I've got it memorized. The two verses, you know. Isn't that the way people treat God sometimes? They really do. Salvation begins with faith, and Peter said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Oh, praise the Lord. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. John 8:31, Jesus said, oh, you believe on me. Wonderful. Now he said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Indeed means for real. If ye continue, you can't just say, I believe it, and it's over. No, you have to continue. That's what the Bible says. Listen to Colossians 1, 21, 22, and 23. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And we go, whoopee, hallelujah, glory to God. Read on. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if, it's conditional, if ye continue, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to you. Praise the Lord. No, it's not my intention to be unkind this morning, but I do have a question. And I want to preface my question with a statement. I love Billy Graham. I think he's one of the most respectable, popular Americans that's in the world today. It's in America today, right? He really is. The IRS can't touch him. All of his persecutors can't touch him. His life is just impeccable. So I want to establish that. I love Billy Graham. I have high regards for Billy Graham. But I want to ask a question. If Billy Graham preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the sign of speaking in other tongues, would his following be the same as it is now? If Billy Graham baptized people by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, would he keep his following? I don't have to say anything negative about Billy Graham. I just said everything positive about him. I'm talking about anybody that preaches less than Peter preached on the day of Pentecost has got to have something missing in their message. Is that right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we hear of evangelists. Philip was a true evangelist. Philip. And the next day, we of Paul's company departed, came unto Caesarea. We entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. Philip was an evangelist, okay? And Philip went down to Samaria and preached. Acts 8:12 says, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. This evangelist preached and saw to it that the people he preached to and had faith in Jesus Christ were baptized. And then, of course, they sent for Peter and John, or Peter and John heard about it, and they came down because Peter had the keys, remember, and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, I love my Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And then it says, Acts 8:15, who, when they were come down, that's Peter and John, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. My time is up, but let me close with this. You know, sometimes I just feel like stopping people on the street and asking, do you believe in God? And if they say no, just say, why not? And then get in a good Bible discussion with them, or a good philosophical discourse. You know, why not? Do you believe in the Bible? Well, not really. Why not? I'd like to know why people don't believe in God. I'd like to know why people don't believe in the Bible. I'd like to stop people on the street and say, have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins? And they say, no. And I say, why not? Why not? Why haven't you? Have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire? No. Why not? Well, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Lutheran. Well, the Bible's non-denominational. That promises to you. Why not? I think we'd have revival if we all did that. Riot, revival. Amen. Well, then you find somebody that's got a little more. Then you say, are you walking daily with Jesus? Well, not every day, Sunday and Wednesday. Then you say, why not? Why not? Aren't you going to continue in the faith daily? Praise the Lord. Does the Bible teach these things? Amen. Well, if it does, then why not? If it teaches take up your cross and follow him, then why not? If it teaches be faithful unto death, then why not? Hallelujah. If it teaches us, not in these words, but save your soul, not your hide, why not? Praise God. Amen. Tomorrow, you may not be able to walk to this altar. A stroke, a heart attack, anything can happen to you and still your voice and disable your choice forever. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Praise the Lord, everybody. Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We just reiterated the facts today, Lord. We reiterated what this church believes and stands for, oh God. Because my heart goes out to anybody who could sit in these chairs in this sanctuary and not be baptized in Jesus' name and not be under conviction to be and not be filled with the Holy Ghost with a sign of speaking in other tongues and not be under conviction to receive the Holy Ghost. God, I had to reiterate it today because you want everybody. Your promise was to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And the call is universal. Whosoever will may come. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here today that hasn't made that decision to be baptized in your name for the remission of sins, that they will do so today. If there's anybody here, Lord, that has gotten tired of tarrying for the Holy Ghost, I pray, Lord, that they will have renewed inspiration and desire, Lord, to come up to this altar, worship you in the pew, in the chair, Lord, until they're filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord. And then for all the rest of us, Lord, that have been baptized and have been filled with the Spirit, Lord, oh, let the words ring in our ears, if you continue, and let us keep doing good, and faint not, Lord, and let us keep reading our Bibles, and never get weary or tired of it, Lord. Let us keep coming to church, and keep worshiping you, and keep witnessing to others, and keep winning people to you, Lord. Let us continue in all things in this faith, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for exercising your rights and saving us, Lord. Undeserving, unworthy, without a right, you gave us salvation. Praise the Lord. What can we do but say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would the Sunday school ushers come?